Well, this year has obviously been a great celebration for Bush Church Aid. On Windy Night, a small gathering of 26 met to form the society. And the first organising missioner, Sid Kirkby, wrote, "A day of small things it appeared to be, and in point of numbers, carrying no great promise to those present." In point of numbers, carrying no great promise. Well, in our gospel reading today, we read of another small thing, a mustard seed that a man took and planted in a garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. We read of another small thing, yeast, that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. And Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. In other words, it starts small. It starts small. Jesus has in mind here a kitchen garden with its herbs and veggies and perhaps a few fruit trees or olives. Now, the mustard seed is not necessarily the smallest of seeds, but it's pretty small. It's inconspicuous, easily overlooked. Yet when it is sown in good soil and watered, it grows into a substantial tree, 3 or 4 metres high, so that even the birds of the air make nests in its branches. Or think of the woman. She just adds a small bit from a jar of last week's yeast to a dough. And Jesus is talking about a lot of flour here, 22 litres probably. And that small amount of yeast works through the whole dough, the whole batch, so that when it's baked, it can feed, the commentators say, at least 100, perhaps 150 people. That's what the kingdom of God's like. It starts small and it grows imperceptibly, silently. You don't even realise it's growing until you go away on holidays and come back and, my goodness, how the garden's grown. Or it's a bit like teenagers growing through the summer. You don't realise how much they've grown, do you, till they go to put on their old school shoes. And they just don't fit. It's stupid to buy school shoes at the end of the holiday, end of the year. You've got to wait a couple of days before they go back to school because kids grow during those holidays. They grow steadily, quietly. Or just a bit like those Australian eucalypts that just keep growing even through heat and drought. And frankly, Bush Church Aid's history is a bit like that. Those early founders in 1919 wanted to serve those in isolated parts of Australia. Yet think of the difficulties they faced, particularly in those isolated parts of Australia. A lot of Australians had been to war. They'd come back traumatised. There'd been terrible loss, of course. The Spanish flu was now taking a greater toll. Our nation was only 18 years old. And returning soldiers were being sent to bush blocks that needed clearing, and they frankly would never be sustaining. Yet BCA's founders were committed to reaching them, particularly those blockies, reaching all of Australia for Christ, because they wanted everyone to hear of his love and his care, of his death on the cross to pay the penalty for the wrong that we'd all done, of his resurrection from the grave to prove that that penalty had actually been paid and was satisfied. They wanted everyone to hear of the gift of the Spirit, comforting those who believe. And they wanted every Australian, particularly kids, to have the sure and certain hope of eternal life in new bodies with believers from every tribe and nation. And within 10 years, ministers and bush deaconesses had been sent to Menindee, Cobar, East Gippsland, Crowjingalong, the Eyre Peninsula, and way out on the South Australian border with Western Australia. As I mentioned before, hostels have been established, one at Mungandai and one at Mukanya, and then more was established later, so that kids could actually just go to school. A Sunday school by post was established, and you see that funny photo of them all dressed up there. They were actually organising and mailing out the Sunday school by post. Within 10 years, that was reaching 700 kids. It grew to thousands and thousands. A hospital had been established at Ceduna, way out on the Bight in South Australia, and even a plane had been purchased. Actually, there's a picture of the plane there on that poster for Pastor Padre Len Daniels. And in an amazing act of forethought, 13 people were being supported at theological colleges, 8 men and 5 women, just like Jacob. Yet all that started very small, very small. I don't know if you thought about this, but all through the Bible, we see God starting substantial and eternal things in very small ways. He began his people, if you think about it, through Abraham and Sarah, and they didn't even think they'd be able to have children. Abraham was 100 years old. And then God rescued his people through one man, Joseph, who'd been sold into slavery. Think how thin that line was. And then God rescued his people again through Moses. And Moses nearly was murdered. You remember that he was saved just by being a little baby in a little floating basket. And ultimately, of course, God rescues his people through another baby who is miraculously escapes murder as an infant himself. Little baby born in a cow shed. Something very small, something very ordinary. And whoever would have thought that a dispirited band of believers just after Jesus' crucifixion would start a church that now numbers billions? You see, God loves to make something out of nothing. Think of the drought that we just read about with Elisha and the widow. This poor widow's depressed. She's just collecting a few sticks to make a bit of bread, and then she and her son are going to die. Elijah turns up and says, "Oh, I'd like you to make me a bit of bread." She goes, "Oh, you want to take our bread as well?" Yet the oil just keeps flowing, the dough just keeps flowing, and they have enough bread and food to last out the drought. God loves to take what we have when we offer it to him and turn it into something. Think about your own personal faith. I don't know how you became a Christian, but maybe it was just through an invitation to church or an invitation to a group describing what Christianity was about, like an Alpha course or an Investigating Christianity church, a group. Maybe you were given a children's Bible and you read that as a kid. Maybe you've given a children's Bible to a kid and are reading it. You see, God loves to make something out of nothing. Don't despise the small. BCA's ministries are all pretty small. There wouldn't be churches this size in where BCA works. But it's amazing, you know. It's as though God sometimes takes people out to Lightning Ridge or to Cooper Pedy where they've got time on their hands and actually puts them in a place where they can do business with God, with someone who's got time to help them sort out their relationship with God. God's kingdom starts with the small. God's eternal, massive kingdom starts with the small. It's very easy for us to want to always be thinking, where's the big picture? You know, I want to go to a big church. Where's the strategic church? And not to realize that actually God just starts with what you've got, no matter how small or ordinary it may seem. Secondly, do you notice how the kingdom of God completely transforms? I don't know if you've ever been to a cheese factory, but the one I used to go to regularly at Tilburtilba, they had these massive vats which were churning around, and then the workers would just throw in just a couple of handfuls of starter culture. And then this culture would work through the whole batch. A little bit sure went a long way. Or down at Lake's entrance, there was a glass blower that I saw down there, and she had this big, clear, molten glass, and into the molten glass, she'd put this tiniest bead of coloured glass. And then that bead would work through the whole glass and completely transform it. I've got some friends who are in Switzerland, and one of my other friends was trying to do a good turn, and he took out the recycling, which has included the recycling glass, you know. And he came back and he said, "What are the different holes for in the glass recycling?" And they said, "Oh, that's one's for green glass and one's for clear glass and one's for brown glass." And he said, "Oh, I don't think I put the right ones in the right one." They said, "Oh, that's just, you've wrecked everything.
You see, and you know what Swiss are like, they're very fussy. Let me tell you, they are perfectionists. You see, because you put one brown bottle in the clear glass, the whole thing turns brown. Or one green bottle in the brown glass, and it wrecks the colour. Now, God's kingdom doesn't wreck badly. God's kingdom wrecks beautifully. It transforms beautifully. It transforms those who believe it, and it transforms those who with whom it comes into contact. I used to work for the Navy, and I discovered that whenever I returned from leave, the language on my floor had significantly deteriorated. I don't know if that's ever your experience when you go on leave. But as soon as I was back, suddenly it transformed. Now, I hadn't even told them I was a Christian. I certainly hadn't made any comment about their language. In fact, I'd been a bit overwhelmed by the culture, and I'd sort of kept my head down. But yet somehow my shy presence had actually made a difference. And that's our prayer in BCA, that each of our field staff would make a difference in the communities that they're in as they seek to reach Australia for Christ, whether or not it be Alfreen, who's the Indigenous chaplain at Galagambone, or Ayumi, as she teaches scripture in the school at Gilgandra, or the Fells, who are the Anglican League God Church on Norfolk Island, or Dale, he's the one on the picture there, he was involved in sort of restarting a church at Redcliffs, one of the poorest parts of Victoria. That picture's actually of him giving out gifts that have been given by the Independent Teachers Association. Instead of them giving each other gifts, they gave gifts to kids in regional Victoria. And Dale at the time was vice president of the local autistic association up there. And those gifts were to kids associated with autism. Making a difference within their communities. The kingdom of God transforms. Finally, did you notice how wonderfully delightful the kingdom of God is? As the birds nest in the mustard tree with their little babies, and as we share fresh, crusty bread. Some years ago, I went through a period of chronic illness and was confined to bed. And outside my bedroom window were some fuchsias. Now, the birds just love their nectar. But if you know fuchsias, fuchsia flowers hang down. And so to get to the nectar, the birds have to sort of do all these acrobatics to kind of come in underneath to get to the nectar. And the trouble is that fuchsia stems are very thin, really, and they're sort of bouncing like this. So that the birds actually get to the nectar, they have to do all these wonderful dancing and upside down, as I said, acrobatics to actually get to it. Well, watching those birds feeding and dancing during my time of sickness, that actually kept me going through some of my darkest days. What a delight it is to be part of the kingdom of God with people from many nations, each seeking to declare his glory among the nations. Well, my prayer is that actually each one of us here has given back to God all that he has given us, no matter how insignificant or small we consider it to be. God leads us into different harvest fields. It's interesting. Through our prayers, he puts different places and people on our hearts, doesn't he, to pray for. Through our life, where we spend our time, our work, our time, and then, of course, our gifts. And my prayer is that actually we'd commit ourselves afresh, both as individuals and as a congregation, to reaching all of Australia for Christ. It's very easy just to sort of see here, I think particularly in a place like Berwick, you see all the new housing areas, you think, we want to reach them for Christ. That's great. But don't forget the people who are often forgotten, who are on islands or in country parts of Australia at the moment, wrestling with drought, etc. Frankly, our biggest need is people. And it takes a long time to train up somebody to go and work at a place like Cooper Pedy, an open mining town, which is very hot, very unpleasant place to live in if you've been there. In fact, the church and the vicarage are underground. A Lightning Ridge, again, a tough place. Lots of people escaping from their families, from the law. Cloncurry, another hot place. To try and find ministers for those places. Actually, we've got Exmouth as vacant too. That's actually a very nice place up there, up near Lingaloo Reef. A lot of people like going to Exmouth. But it's still very isolated to go up there. Very isolated. So our biggest need is people. And my prayer is that even out of this congregation would come people who could actually serve in places like that.
Well, God's kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's like yeast. It starts small, it transforms the whole, and it's an eternal delight. Whoever would have believed that out of that meeting 100 years ago, so much would come? Let's praise God for all he's done to build his kingdom through Bush Church Aid these last 100 years. But let's also commit ourselves afresh to growing his kingdom, to reaching Australia for Christ as Australia and as remote Australia continues to grow. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for those who've gone before us, who've gone to tough and difficult places. Give us wisdom as to how we can best serve and support those who are in tough parts of Australia, isolated parts of Australia. Please be merciful, Lord, and raise up people who can actually go to places like Coober Pedy, Lightning Ridge, Exmouth and Cloncurry. Please give us wisdom as to how we can be involved, both as individuals and as a parish. And please, Lord, give us eyes that see further afield than our small worlds, knowing that your kingdom starts small, transforms, and is a wonderful delight. In Jesus' name, amen.